This is one of those Sundays when I'm very sure of the text, but unsure what all I'm going to say today. Want to look ahead at 2018 and ask the question, what is in your hand? This is a very, very simple message this morning, but I believe that it's the right one, and I believe it's what the Lord would have us consider this morning. I give a lot of thought to that. Started preaching when I was about 22, maybe shouldn't have, but did, and I'll be 63, so there's a lot of years there, and started pastoring full-time almost 35 years ago now. And so how do I prepare messages? Most parables, most stories in the Bible, most chapters you can make a four-point outline out of, but that's not how we approach it. I always ask the Lord, you know who will be there. You know the different mix we have with this being an outreach center, and on a given Sunday there may be a different, totally different mix than before. There's core people who are always here. But with the type of people we reach out to, which we love this congregation, wouldn't trade it with any church in the world. But often people can't be here every week due to work schedules, having families divided, etc. But I give a lot of thought to, Lord, what do we have for a particular Sunday? What is it that you would have me to say that particular week? You know who will be there? I'm not wise enough, smart enough to know what needs to be said. You can be offensive in preaching. You can do damage in preaching. I want to be very keen to the Holy Spirit. Probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible, if not the favorite verse in the Bible, is John 3:8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, you hear the sound thereof, you know not whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. I think that's probably one of, if not my favorite verse in the Bible. I want to be led of the Spirit on what's to be said. A brief word, a very brief, simple word, can penetrate the heart with the enabling of the Holy Spirit, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. One can be deeply moved by something that said that was very simple and maybe even poorly said, if it has the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So I want my words to be anointed. And I feel like we're to deal with the question this morning. We'll try to be time sensitive again. It's a holiday weekend as we were last week. But what is in your hand? What is in your hand? Exodus chapter 4. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about Exodus chapter 3 in most of the message about Moses at the burning bush and how that he was taken back by the bush that began burning and wouldn't burn out. And he went over to see what was going on. And when God saw that he went over to see, God waits for us to come to him. God waits for us to be drawn to him. He waits for us to make a move toward him. If I can put a little parenthesis here for just a second, many battle with that verse, and they don't need to. Many are called, few chosen. Boy, that sounds like God's selective. No, not at all. If you study that verse, what that means is he's waiting on that person who puts their foot forward, and he says, I'll take you. He says, who will come? Whosoever will may come. And George says, I will. And he says, I choose you. And Mia says, I will. And he says, I choose you. And you become chosen of him by your desire. You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. He's looking for that person who wants to step up. And when Moses stepped up to the burning bush to see what this was about, and God saw that he had come forward, God spoke to him from the bush and called his name. So Moses had incredible experience, and God commissioned him and gave him an assignment, as I shared a couple of weeks ago. And that assignment was to lead the people out of captivity from Egypt. The conversation continues in chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 4, 1 through 17. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? He's supposed to go and confront Pharaoh. He's supposed to tell them to let the people go out of Egypt after their captivity of near 400 years. Moses says to God, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? A staff, he replied. Wish I had an authentic, actual staff. Couldn't get the cross to come out. Tried. With the crook on the end. What is in your hand? Boy, this is going to be a simple message, but I know it's for this morning. Well, what's in my hand? Something that I use every day. Something that's almost become part of me. Walking through the hills and the difficult terrain, Howard and Gail went to Israel with us, and we gained an appreciation for some of the things it says in the Bible. I used to wonder how they could just immediately stone somebody to death. And when I saw the 8-10 pound size rocks that are everywhere, you realize how quickly they could grab stones and stone somebody to death. 8-10 pound rocks everywhere. The terrain in Israel. And this is my staff. I use it every day. It's part of me. It helps me up the mountainside as I care for the sheep. And what's in my hand? Well, my toolbox. I'm a mechanic. what's in my hand? A Bible. I'll come back to this. I'm a pastor. What's in your hand? I'm taken back by that statement because I think a mess up, a goof up in the organized church is that we've canned the whole ministry concept into a box. We get saved and we're sincere. We come to Christ and we're sincere and we receive him into our life. What he then wants us to do is bring us to surrender and an infilling of his spirit, and then he wants to enable what's in our hand. We often get this idea that we become Christians and then maybe we're supposed to do something specific in the church, and there's a place for that. There's a need for that from time to time. And there's people that are called to do that. But what's in your hand? Brian, you used what's in your hand this morning on the platform. God's giving you an unusual voice. You're using what's in your hand. I think it's easy at times. I had this as a young man to get caught up into it. It needs to be something different, something magnificent. I think the enemy gets in that, something unusual. There are unusual things that happen from time to time. Someone came to my mother one time. She was a pastor's wife, evangelist wife, missionary wife for years. Someone came to my mother one time and said, I've made a Christian commitment. What can I do in the church? Don't misunderstand that. There's places in the church that need filled. There's things that need to be done in the church. But I want you to connect with the reality of the question, what's in your hand? My sister Miriam, a number of years ago, was at home and stewing about the will of God. Has anybody done that? Probably everybody at some time. What is the will of God? I'm not being irreverent, but we can get this idea that some mystical things to happen. What is the will of God for me? I've got to find it somehow and spend years searching for it. Miriam said to me one time, she was at home and praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord said, in so many words, not necessarily from this passage, what is in your hand? And she said, well, I have two little girls, Jessica and Joanna. They were real young at the time. And he said, as clear as anything, the Lord said to her, take your pretty voice, because Miriam has a nice voice. Take your pretty voice and your two little girls and start visiting the lonely people at the Miller's Merry Manor. What's in your hand? And she began taking Monday nights and taking those two cute little girls. Did you know that elderly people never get to see kids much? Those of you who have been around nursing homes, is that true? You want to get the attention of the whole wing in the nursing home. Bring in a little toddler. what's in your hand? The devil teases us with this idea that we got to find this mystic will of God. There's some awesome stories, I'm not being irreverent here, where God will come and use. If God has something very unusual he wants you to do, he'll let you know loud and clear. He'll come to you on the Mount of Transfiguration. He'll speak to you through the parting of the Red Sea. He'll make it known to you. But I think often we fumble through life because we haven't gotten a hold of what's in our hand. Miriam began going on Monday nights and taking those two little girls and dressing them all up in little dresses and just cute as could be. And she went in and she said, Tom, I could not believe when I'd go from room to room and I would sing, and little girls would sing with me, and we'd just sing, Jesus loves me. What's in your hand? Miriam grew up singing, and she had two little girls, what's in your hand? I never will forget my mother saying, seven children. We lost John Richard to whooping cough. We lost Carol early on. Of course, we've lost some since, but I never will forget Mom getting up in front of a crusade Dad was leading. Often between songs, we were the Singing Robins family, and Dad would play guitar. That yellow Gibson that's in my office is a relic, and he played that. At tent meetings, Daddy was kind of on the cutting edge. Maybe that runs in the family. Back when everybody was in churches and you just had piano music, Daddy was doing tent revivals with sawdust on the floor and lights strung around and playing a guitar. And that was pretty wild to most people. And they were doing tent revivals. And between songs, he sometimes would say, Virginia, share your testimony. And Mom was going to be a dancer as a young girl. And actually took lessons and did very well in dramatic art and dancing, and God called her and she became a Christian, and she left that and even went to her dance instructor and said, this career that you have planned for me, God has called me, I'm marrying a minister. And got, Mom had a neat story. So Dad often said, share your testimony, Virginia. And I never will forget one time in a tent meeting when there's several hundred people there in a tent meeting over by LeGros, Indiana on Old 24. We'd go there and Daddy'd hold two-week revivals with the Donaldson brothers from Texas. And they would share speaking. And I remember Mom got up one night and she said, well, God's called me into the ministry, but she said, right now, for the next few years, my ministry is that row of kids sitting out there. Those children, God has spoken to me. I remember Mom saying that. That's my ministry. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Don't be offended. Don't be offended. Working in the church is a wonderful thing. But sometimes the enemy wants to get us so tied up in this idea of finding the will of God and doing something heroic that has a title that we miss what's right in front of us, and we have toddlers growing up in our home that don't know the Bible stories. I am alarmed by the fact that in my generation, the little boys knew all the superheroes but didn't know the Bible stories. You know what saw me through the fires of life? The stories of faith about Daniel. Lonnie, when I was in the hospital, those stories Mom taught me. I'm amazed at the children that got every gadget there is and they don't know a Bible story. They don't know one Bible story. What is in your hand? Mom stood in front of a tent crusade, and I think they kind of expected this traveling evangelist. Daddy had some pizzazz, and he was somewhat famous in a small pond. It was a small pond. And I think they weren't expecting that from her, and she said, right now, my ministry is that row of children right there. But she was raising Kathy, Jim, and Paul and I, and we're all three ministers now. I say this very, very humbly, but between Paul being president of Christianity Today and Youth for Christ for years, myself and the different ministries we've been in, my brother Jim and the tremendous influence he had, my sister Sharon, the ministry that Carol had, and even after she died, Dean remarried and her husband remarried and has been a minister for years and just retired 2 years ago. How many people have been reached through Mom's devotion to use what was in her hand? What is in your hand? I've gotten in the call of names lately. Hopefully that isn't hurting the attendance. Mandy, what's in your hand? The customers at Hardee's are in your hand. Why can I say that to you? Because God said that to me at Kroger's. I was bound and determined I want to be a pastor. Why isn't God opening up places for me to speak and all this and all this? The Lord said, what's in your hand? Kroger's. Hard place, waiting on the public all the time to be a witness. Test your attitude. Sharpens you. Working with other employees, difficult. All the drama of the workplace. Iron sharpens iron. It develops you. You go home, you have to repent. Done that a few thousand times. You go home, Lord, I don't like the attitude I had toward that customer. I wanted to strangle him. That wasn't Christ-like. What's in your hand? A staff, he replied. And the Lord said, throw it on the ground. Oh, I've got to let go of it. Well, I got to be in control of everything. If I throw it on the ground, I got to let go of it. Oh my, how am I going to do that? I got to be in control of everything. What do you mean throw it on the ground? When we take what's in our hand and we throw it out, the Spirit of the Lord activates that. He threw it on the ground, it became a snake. It became alive. And he ran from it. And the Lord said, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Well, there's a lot in that. I'm missing a lot of it, but I got some of it. Got to be willing to take what's in your hand and throw it out there. Mama invested in us kids. When Daddy was off traveling evangelistic work, and would be out in Nebraska and Colorado and Arkansas and Tennessee and all over. Oh, she could have been complaining. And she could have been, you know, why is he gone? Every night, Mom would check the time zone of where Daddy was. Every night, she'd say, I'm going to go to my room and pray for Daddy. It's 7 o'clock in Nebraska, and he's going to be preaching here in a few minutes. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Christianity is the crime of the church, if I may say it cautiously and appropriately. The crime of the church is complicating this thing. What is in your hand? Lori, years ago, I remember you answering that question. God said to you, in so many words, you told me, what's in your hand? And you said, well, I'm not afraid to go to jail. I'm the type of person, the way I've grown up, I'm not afraid of going. I'm going to start going to jail. I'm going to start going and talking to those girls in the jail. How many girls have you influenced over the years and years and years because you threw out there what's in your hand? Because when you put Jesus in what's in your hand and the Spirit comes alive, that thing is alive. And it's a little scary. Grab it by the tail. Wait a minute, what happened? I didn't know you was going to ask that. I didn't know I was going to raise those little kids on that front row and they were all going to become ministers and move away. I didn't know all that was going to transpire. I didn't know I'd have to let go of it. In 2018, the greatest thing you can do is recognize what's in your hand and throw it out there. Throw it out there. My call to the ministry, part of it, I was first called at 8 years old. I'll tell you that story sometime, but it's not for today. But my call to the ministry when I came back to the Lord after some bitterness in my teenage years and anger at my father, and I came back to the Lord, my call to the ministry came in this verse. This is my red Bible that survived the fire. Randy Troyer found this. One of the happiest days of my life. We were going through ashes of the house, And he was digging around. I can see it like it was yesterday. I was up in the area that was the living room that they got put out, but everything was smoke damaged and a mess, and it was ugly. And just sometimes it's better if it just all burns down because it's got all water in it, and it's just a mess, a fire. And we were all looking around, and I told everybody that was helping me clean up, and everybody jumped in and helped. Some of you were there. I said, if you come across anything, I don't know if anything was salvaged. I looked in the closet for my compound bow, which I don't care that much about the bow, but Guy Woodhouse had bought it for me. And so it meant a lot to me. He had gotten it for me as a gift. Well, I found two cams, metal cams. Everything else was burned up. But I did find, Lonnie, I found my .38 Special in there. The clothes rack had fallen on it, and I still have it. So that was saved. It was underneath all the stuff in the closet. So, you know, you're kind of excited. You're sad about the fire, but you're kind of excited because you're going through the stuff. Oh, look, like a treasure hunt, you know, look what we found. Well, Randy is digging around in what used to be the bedroom area, and he said, there's something red down in here if I can get a hold of it. And he pulled this up. This is the Bible that I had when Pastor Bishop was mentoring me. You would not believe the notes in here. I mean, there is just stuff here. Now, it's a little water-soaked. And you can tell that I put a few extra pieces of paper in this Bible. There's lots of notes in here. But I always carried this. This was my Bible. And so I'm so thankful that it survived the fire. But as a young man, I was struggling with, okay, I got bitter in my teenage years. I had done really well in school and I was planning to go to Taylor University. And I got a family moved into our home with us that Daddy was trying to help. And I got bitter and angry and I ended up losing my credits. And I ended up getting expelled from high school. And so when I feel this renewed call to the ministry, I'd been on the debate team. I'd done very well in speech. I had won a letter at Prue High School with speech, which I still have in the office incidentally. It's funny. And so I knew I had this in me, and myself and three other students had won the whole Central Indiana at Lafayette Jeff High School. We'd won the debate match for all of Central Indiana, all the high schools. We won it. And that was a big deal. And that was when I was a freshman. But anyway, I'm 19 at the time and going on 20. And actually, with this Bible experience I'm getting ready to tell you, I'd have been about 21. And God is reinforcing my call to the ministry. And he's bringing it back to me. And I'm aware that I've had some speaking ability. And I'm praying. And so there's a reason why I'm telling you this stuff. I'm praying and I'm said, Lord, you know, I don't have formal education. You know, I messed up and I got kicked out of high school, and my plans to go to Taylor University. I'd even gone to college days at some places, and back there that was a bigger deal than it is now. And I messed all that up, and I had this Bible in my hand. Vince looked a little better before the fire, and I said, Lord, I got some speaking ability in my hand. I recognize that. I did pretty well in school and speech, and just as clear as anything, the Lord said, son, what is in your hand? And I looked down and I said, my red Bible's in my hand. And the Lord said to me as clear as anything, you start throwing it out there and using it and I'm going to amaze you. About 3 months later, I went to a little church where they had a pastor on vacation. They asked me to speak. It's a little bit private. Take risk of misunderstanding. This isn't meant in a braggadocious way, but I need to tell you this because it applies. I went to a little church about 3 months later. They asked somebody to be guest speaker because I'd started doing a little speaking and leading a few Bible studies, and I went to this church, and I'll never forget it in all my life. I laid this red Bible on the pulpit, and I was really nervous. There weren't very many people there that night. It was over by Mount Etna, and I opened my Bible, and I don't know what the text was that night, but I gave a sermon out of this red Bible. And when I got done and said amen, I felt the power of the Lord on me while I was speaking. The rebel kid that had been in a bunch of trouble and messed things up, I felt the power of the Lord on me. Now, God had given me this experience, what's in your hand? And I never will forget at the end of the sermon, an old guy sitting right back here on the left, just from where Jeff Staker is, stood up. He's kind of a skinny guy, but kind of a guy with dominant eyes. And he walked right down the front and to the front of the church after I'd said amen. He was pointing at me, Brad. And I thought, oh, shoot, what did I do? I probably misquoted something. I can see that like it was yesterday, and that's 40-some years ago. He walked right down there, and he pointed at me, and he came right to the front, and he stood right here. And I say this as humbly as I know how to say it. He pointed at me. He said, son, you got an anointing. And he said, I felt it while you were speaking, and you use it. Now, God does that business in the flesh. We're pretty worthless. I'm telling you what's in your hand. Go ahead. Did it take some courage? Was it a little scary to throw it out there and go to 60 miles away on a cold winter night and speak at a church? I hadn't had much speaking experience. Was it a little scary? Yeah, it was a little scary. But when that man looked at me and he turned left, but I never will forget that. And the valleys of my life, inner city Chicago, 98, 99, we were working on the streets of Chicago. And there's times I thought, Lord, what are we doing here? Every person we try to help falls back out of the off the saddle. Every addicted person we help, every prostitute we try to help, it seems like everything goes backwards. You won't believe the times God has brought me back the image of that man walking up there and saying, young man, the anointing is on you. And I valued that. And I'm a little uneasy sharing that, to be honest, in my heart. If you could see down in here, I'm kind of wrestling because I don't like this. That's pretty private, and that's... my motives could be misunderstood for saying that. God's no respecter of persons, but though I need to tack onto that and tell you, if you take what's in your hand, my mother had the wisdom to know that when she could have been somebody really in the world's eyes, she was this traveling evangelist that was very popular. There were billboards of my dad all over the place, and she could have been very popular. She had the wisdom to cry, and I will forget, tears were running down her face, and she said, my ministry's sitting down there on that row. But she was raising three ministers, and she didn't know it. And there was a woman somewhere that raised a little boy named Billy, and his last name was Graham, and she didn't know it when she was raising him, but 30 years old, he was going to preach the gospel, and they were going to sing Just As I Am and tell the prodigal son story all over the world and see thousands and thousands of people saved. What is in your hand? What is in your hand? Well, I'm a nurse. That's what's in my hand. I've got a stethoscope, and I'm a nurse. I'm in the medical field. What's in your hand? But Jesus wants us to infiltrate society. That's what the salt of the earth is. We got this idea in church that, you know, it's supposed to be boxed up, and it's supposed to be a certain way, and we're supposed to get this degree. And there's a time for that. I'm not belittling that. There's a time for education. I got some education later from NIAC. Christian Missionary Alliance has a fine theological seminary in New York, and I was able, they made a one-time exception. I was the first person they ever had to do the entire course and write all the papers, but be absent because I had four children. And I remember before ordination just thanking God for working all that out. So there's a place for that. Don't misunderstand that. There's a time for that. But I think that in the Christian world, in the church, we've boxed this thing up, and we got to get our degree, and we have to do this, and it has to be within the confines of some organization. And I think we've messed this thing up, and we forgot that you're sitting, Linda and Allie, you're sitting at the window of Pru Utilities. What is in your hand? There drives up a lady who just went through a divorce. And you can tell by a glance at her eyes are a little swollen like she's been crying, and she's coming up to pay her utility bill. What is in your hand? I'd remind myself of that 1,000 times at Kroger's, because customers can wear you down. They can wear you out. They can try your patience. But if you ask me, the thing that qualified me the most for the ministry, it was waiting on the general public for 17 years. That was really my seminary. Oh, did I repent a lot of times? Oh, yeah. I didn't handle what was in my hand very well sometimes, but it's in that process. I preached a message years ago called The Value of the Process. The Value of the Process. The Value of the Process. Oh, it would have been exciting 12 and a half years ago, and it would have been on the front of the Indianapolis Star if I'd have rose up out of the bed the night I went down there with a white count of 137,000 with acute myeloid leukemia, and they said I wouldn't live the night. If I'd have rose up out of bed and pulled the hoses out of me and shut the machine off and said I'm healed and run up and down the halls, that would have been exciting, but that would have lasted about 3-4 days, and that'd been the end of it. But by going through the whole year of hospitalization for 5 months and going ahead and submitting to the chemo. I've got a process that I went through that brought the book about. I've got a process I went through that gives me a different feel that I can't explain to you when I go into the room of somebody that has a drip bag hanging with crossbones on it, because that's what they have on there, on the chemo bag. And when I go into that room and I reach up and say, may I pray with you, there's a different feeling because the value of the process. You follow me? What's in your hand? Well, I have 10,000 customers a week that used to come through Kroger's. That was the customer count. A lot of them were repeats, but it was 10,000. What's in your hand, son? Okay. When God spoke to me, 10,000 customers a week come through here. You probably see 5,000 of them. What's in your hand? Endless opportunity. I used to isolate myself on break. I would go off on break. Oh, I'm not going to deal with it. You know, I'm tired of this stuff. Anybody ever feel that way? I'm sick of this. I'm not going to deal with it. I'd go hide on break, sit in the car, you know, or go out and sit somewhere. God began speaking to me, make yourself available. I said, all right, what's in your hand? 5,000 customers a week, people coming in and out of this store. It was a busy place when the new store just opened. Not the one where it is now, but the one that was across the street where it used to be. What's there now? Can't remember. Anyway, I helped open that one. But anyway, God said to me, what's in your hand? And I said, okay, Lord, I remember this. I remember this vividly, Lord. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to start going out and sitting on that flower bed. Remember out front of Kroger's there? Lori worked there too. There was that flower bed out front and that cement. I said, I am going to start going out there every break and I'm going to say, Lord, send me somebody. And I started going out there and sitting. You ever remember seeing me sit out there? You probably do, Lori. I go out there and sit. I could not tell you things in my blessing books of encounters I had with people. Oh, did it happen every 5 minutes? No. Did it happen every single? No. Trick of the devil is to get us thinking that it's in this box of church and we got to operate within it and that's the only way where it really works and we're not doing anything unless we do that. And mundane job of every day in the routine to wear us down to where we really aren't salt and light. My challenge to you in 2018 is to start being salt and light more than ever before. And it starts with what's in your hand. What's in your hand? I can't tell you the time sitting out front, God would bring somebody who would sit down there or come by, or I would see something going on that I would set my coffee down, pop up, and go to help somebody. Or somebody having trouble getting their stuff in their car, or some lady trying to lift bags of salt by herself. Could I help you with that? Only to find that at a later visit, there was a conversation that came from that kindness, and the Spirit of God was working. You go ahead and throw it on the ground, it'll come alive. Boy, I could go lots of directions with this. Boy, I'm out of time. Throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground. It became a snake and he ran from it. Oh, there's some fear. There's some fear. You got to overcome your fear. Step out. That's what faith is. I love the saying, fear knocked at the door. Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. No one was there. Isn't that cool? Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. Nobody was there. He disappears. The enemy melts away when we answer with faith. Step out. What is in your hand? Only you can answer that question. I have written here what you already have. That's the one that stayed up there. When what's in your hand is ignited by, anointed with, and enabled by the Holy Spirit, it's amazing. When what's in your hand is ignited by, anointed with, and enabled by the Holy Spirit, it is amazing. After God gave me that experience, son, what's in your hand? I said, well, my red Bible. He said, start throwing it out there. So I told the Lord, and this is a little scary. I said, anybody that calls me to speak or lead a Bible study, the answer is yes. Because he said, I was supposed to use this. So I'm going to do it. That's what took me to that church where I had the experience with the elderly man. That's what led to me borrowing chairs from the base, from a friend of mine. And we had 33 people in our living room having a Bible study when we lived over there at the house next to you, built there next to you, Vince, years ago, right over here on 450 North. Oh, that's a little scary. That's a little scary. How are you going to answer those Bible questions? How are you going to do that? Throw it out there. It'll come alive. If you don't know, say, I don't know. Love them. Reach out to them. It's a little scary. Oh, I got to have this thing all figured out. Did you know if you're going to throw your staff out there, you got to let go of it? You can't throw your staff on the ground without letting go of it. So there's a surrender. There's a relinquish of control. Lord, here. And it comes alive. And there'll be some fear. Grab it by the tail. Say, what? Can you see Moses with God? I love the way God is so familiar with us. Abraham bargained with God about Sodom and Gomorrah. I love how God, the friend of God, you know, you can reverently, you can discuss it with him. Lord, what about this? Can you imagine when God said, grab it by the tail? So Moses reached out, took a hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared unto you. And I'm going to stop there reading that. Interesting that it says, by this, throwing your staff, what was in your hand, what was familiar to you, what you carry around every day, it's part of you. When he threw it out there, it came alive, and then he said, by this they'll know. The best proof, Don, that you're the real deal at Chrysler as a Christian is when you use what's in your hand. You show up for work and you're on time. I think Christians should be the best employees in the world. I said to somebody sitting here this week that got a good evaluation on their job. I said, that's the best example you can be is good job performance. You should be the best employee in your place. I had a guy tell me one time, you believe this. He said, I don't get to have time to have my devotions at home, so I always hide around behind my press and read the Bible. Something wrong with that. Now, if you got a press that runs and they allow you free time, that's one thing. But he was bragging about the fact that he was cheating the company out of time and he was having his devotions around in the corner. One of the best witnesses you can be is to be an exceptional employee. An exceptional employee. I always just swell with pride. That's probably not a good way to say it. But swell with pride when I hear somebody from the congregation, I run into somebody and they say, oh my goodness, they work for me. What a wonderful person. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? We got this thing way too complicated. The best thing you can do in 2018, you can make 150 New Year's resolutions. I've heard them all. I heard them all broke by January 7th. The best thing you can do in 2018 is recognize what's in your hand and say, Lord, I'm going to throw this out there and I got to let go control. And I got to, that was part of me and that was my comfort zone. You know, this staff here, that's my, if the wolf comes to bother the sheep, boy, this old boy comes in, hey, throw it out there. This is my security blanket, Linus. This is my security blanket. I always have this with me. I feel safe with this. What do you mean throw this out there? This is what, I feel safe when I have this. Don't take away my comfort zone. There's a lot in that. Throw it out there. Why didn't he say lay it down, Larry? Why didn't he say lay it down? He didn't. He said, throw it out there. Because when you hurl something away from you and throw it out there, you got to let go. You have to relinquish control in your heart. You're not sure where it's going to land, Mike. You're not sure where it's going to land. There's a lot in that. Throw it out there. You'll have to chew on that. You'll have a good Bible study on that. You'll think of stuff I didn't. 2018, the best thing you can do is say, Lord, what's in my hand? Isn't it amazing that my mother was the wife of a traveling evangelist and musically talented and on her way in show business. This gal, Virginia Withey, who was, Pam would recognize that name, that was Mom's trainer. She had Hollywood plans for Mom. Mom was an actor. Hey, I got a little actor in me. I fooled you on that box last week. You guys thought that was heavy, and there wasn't a thing in it. It was a feather light. I even had a couple of kids come up last week to test that box to see if it was real heavy. Mom was a good actor. Mom was a real good actor, and she had a future in that. But she stood in front of a whole crusade with tears running down her face, and she said, well, God has spoke to me these last few days that my ministry is that row of kids right there on that row. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? It's hard to embrace that sometimes. Because the staff's so common, it's hard for us to believe God could use it. Well, I'm just kind of a quiet person, you might say, and it's a little hard for me to even say something. So, what's in your hand? God doesn't expect you to be somebody else. But it'll come alive when you throw it out there. Is everybody the same on what's in their hand? No. See, now, Pastor, I don't know if I agree with that. Go to the parable of the talents. One was given one was given three, one was given five. Is that right? One, two, or five? I can't remember. It isn't about what you had at the end. The guy that had five, he was supposed to double it. The guy that had two was supposed to. It isn't about what you had, it's what you did with what you had. The greatest point of embarrassment of the judgment will be the smallness of our trying. It's not the things we try at and fail at that shame us. It's the things that we could have done and should have done and we never even tried. You say that again? The greatest point of embarrassment for us at the judgment will be the smallness of our trying. It's not the things we try at and fail that shame us. It's the things we could have done and should have done and we never even tried. Well, boy, you know, this thing just gives me a lot of security. And, man, what if I see a wolf come and I don't have this and I've had this for years and this is the same staff I've always had. I always like that line. This is the same staff I've always had, and I've always had this staff, and this has always been the one that I had, and I always keep it. You hear that a lot? Sure. That's what we've always done. I've had so many fights over the years because we do new things. You know, most of the enemies I've made in life have been because we do new things. I'm serious. People don't like change. And God's always called me to do new things. And what I found is he's used us in the kingdom to give permission to other people to do new things. I've been amazed things we started. I'm not trying to get credit. I'm just telling you, I'm figuring out how God works as we get older. We did kids' church and did away with Sunday school at Zion Chapel and built a separate building and went around and picked up 120 kids. You would not believe the children's ministries had all started. Even the one in Kokomo, I was told, that did so well for years. They said they got that spark. They came to see what we were doing. God gave us cutting ground. In Chicago, we were the first ministry to ever work with prostitutes on the street, underage girls that had been taken in. In fact, when we first did it, people said, I can't believe they're doing that. I cannot believe it. But since then, they say there are numerous ministries reaching out to street kids. Not saying that for any pat on the back. We're not saying that. But I am saying to you without hesitation, and without being backward at all, that if you will throw out there what you have in your hand. And 40 years ago, God challenged me and said, son, what is in your hand? And it was this book. It was this very Bible. And I said, Lord, I've got my red Bible. And he said, start throwing it out there. Start throwing it out there. Now, in my case, I was called to be a vocational minister. But Moses had a staff in his hand. That common thing, that thing that gives me security, that thing that keeps me comfortable, that thing that, oh man, I don't have wholeness without this. Let go of it. Cast it out there. Do you know that churches are full of people that have never, ever let go of their staff? Never. But it'll come alive, and God will do mighty things. And I'm going to tell you, those of you who like to study Michael Prophet, I know you do, excuse me. I know several of you are students of the Bible. I'm going to close, but I'm going to just throw out something a little bit for bait. Study the word staff. Kevin, study the word staff. Joe, I know you like study. Study the word staff and rod in the Bible. You're going to be, it's wild. The stem of Jesse, who was Jesus, in the book of Isaiah. It's the same root word. The stem of Jesse, the branch that would come out of Jesse the father. The stem, who is Jesus. It's the same root word. King Ahasuerus, the scepter. When Esther requested to talk to the king and you had to touch the scepter or you could be killed, when you walked into the king's court, they reverenced their king so much that you would say, I'd like to speak to the king. And if he lowered the scepter to you and you touched it, you could come in. It's the same root word, Brian. Jesus is the stem of Jesse, who was David's father. Through the flesh, he came. That's the same root word as staff. What is in your hand? Jesus is in your hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, John the Baptist said. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. A hand, we measure horses. We say a horse is 16 hands. Jake is 16 and a half hands. The big horse, 4 inches is a hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's 4 inches away. It's right here in front of you. You're holding it. The best thing you can do in 2018 is take Jesus, who through the flesh came from David, from the stem of Jesse, the rod, touch the scepter, come into the king's presence, intercession with God in the holiest of holies, and then go out in your daily life and throw that staff out there. See how that's all tied together? That's heavy stuff, but that's really good stuff. Study the words staff, rod, scepter in the Bible. You're going to find they're all related in the root in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew. When you take what you have in your hand and you add Jesus to it, look out. It's amazing. Let's stand for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for giving us anointing and thoughts and inspiration this morning. We recognize that comes from you. We're handicapped completely without it. I pray that you'd take on this last day of 2017, as you take these truths, if I've said anything in the flesh, melt it. Just help me to forget it. If I said something's in the flesh, just help me, just forget it. Totally forget it. But what's been said in the spirit, and I believe that the majority of it has been said, if not all in the spirit, embed it in our hearts. Break us away from traditional thinking, and things have to be systematic and in order. The kingdom of heaven breaks all the rules. You turn the other cheek. I believe Kevin used to say the upside down kingdom. Boy, it's a good way to say it. It's different. And that thing that's close to you, that gives you security, that you carry every day, the staff of the shepherd, or the tools of the mechanic, I remember when Stefan Thoden said to me, I wanted to fix a car for one of the girls in the rescue resort, and he smiled real big, and he said, oh, I wouldn't want anything for doing it if it's for one of the girls in the ministry. What's in your hand? A toolbox. What's in your hand? And when that's anointed, it comes alive, and God uses it. Thank you for each one here. Be with us. Protect us. Lord, you know there's a number among us and part of our ministry who aren't here this morning, who have been in addictions in the past. Lord, this is New Year's Eve. I ask that the Holy Spirit would chase everybody down. Keep them on track. Don't let them compromise. Don't let them have a back set. You know that's been heavy on my heart in our ministry, because so many have passed that it's easy to compromise. Watch over us. May we honor you in all that we do. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.